This is Tony Broome Ministries welcoming you for the following sermon from Luke chapter 1, entitled, Hide Yourself or Shut Your Mouth. We're in Luke chapter 1 this time. And somebody said, where in the world do you get all these titles? Well, I know the Lord gives me the message, but I can't blame him for all the titles. I believe he blesses me with them, but I can't blame him for all of them. It's like this one. Hide yourself or shut your mouth. That's the title. Hide yourself or shut your mouth. Luke chapter 1 gives a story about the birth of John the Baptist. We'll start at verse 11. Zechariah was executing his priest's office, and he was burning incense in the temple. And he and his wife were old, and they had prayed a long time, didn't have any children. Verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. People can't go in the temple like that, but angels can go anywhere God sends them.
Amen.
Angel went right into the temple of God with no fear, stood right up there in the altar of incense near the covering of the ark. When Zechariah saw him, Zechariah means remembered of Jehovah. And Zechariah, or Zacharias is the Greek word, and I'll probably say Zechariah mostly because that's what it is. He saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Right, I would too. See an angel. Nobody's supposed to be there in the temple, and here appears an angel of the Lord. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Elizabeth means my oath of God. God is my oath. She shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. John means Jehovah is gracious. John the Baptist was not just any chip off the old block. He was a special person, just like all of you are special, of course. But John the Baptist was one to be born to parents who were old. He was one to be born at a time when they needed a prophet. Hadn't had a prophet for a long, long time. Here comes Zechariah, and he was a priest. And here comes Elizabeth. She didn't have any children. They were aged. And now the promise is given that John the Baptist will be born. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. You're greater when you don't drink it than you are when you do drink it. Some people have to drink it to feel like they can do anything. They holler and scream and run their mouth. You're better off if you don't drink it. Because up goes the bottle, and down goes the name. Many people in here and online listening can bear me witness that God will deliver you from alcohol and strong drink. Amen. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He's the only one that we know of that the Bible says that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Now, he's given Zechariah a lot of good things that would happen when this baby's born. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. That's a miracle because many prophets had tried to do that and it hadn't happened. But John would be born. He would be a forerunner of Christ. He would look like Elijah, smell like Elijah, dress like Elijah. He would not be Elijah, but he would be in the spirit and power of Elijah. In fact, it said he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Means the Lord is my God, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. If you can turn the hearts of fathers to children and children to fathers, you can make families get together and be right. That's a miracle. John the Baptist, with the help of God, would be able to do that. He would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He would be the one who would be the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight, to say, get ready, there's coming one after me that's preferred before me, for he was before me, to get ready because somebody's coming that you need to listen to. And it would be the one who would blaze that trail and preach that message. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Why don't you hide yourself or shut your mouth? Can you believe he asked an angel? The Lord tells him this and this and this and that. All this is going to happen. And he says, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, the messenger of God that stands in the presence of God. Now you can almost hear Gabriel's tone change. Because here's a man that you're sent from God to give him this good news. And now he's questioning, give me a sign. Show me something that will help me to know how this is going to be. And Gabriel changes his tone and he says, I'm Gabriel, to stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. Hide yourself or shut your mouth. You'll be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You better believe that if God sends Gabriel to tell you something, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
If God tells you something in his word, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
God tells you something in the Holy Spirit, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
And he said, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. I'm sent to speak to you these words, and you don't believe it, so you'll not be able to speak, because these words will be performed. They will take place. They will come to pass in their season. So all this is going on, and these people are waiting for Zechariah to come out, and he doesn't come out. And they keep on waiting, and they're praying. You can only pray for so long. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got, how spiritual you are, how much Pentecostal you are, you can only pray for so long. Then you start saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't do that for so long, and they prayed. They kept on praying, and finally he comes out, and he couldn't talk to them. He just beckoned to them with his hand. Tried to tell them something, and they thought he had seen an angel in the temple. He sure did. Verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself. Weiss translation said, in seclusion at home for 5 months. So he comes home to her, and he can't talk. And he comes home, and he's got roses between his teeth. She said, what are you doing, old man? He couldn't talk to her. And he started hugging on her and kissing on her. She said, what are you doing, man? Well, he done got a head start on this thing. He came home with love on his mind, because the angel done told him what's going to happen. And lo and behold, his wife gets with child and hides herself at home for 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. At that time, it was a disgrace not to have a baby. It's like in our day, it's almost a disgrace to have one. That's why America has legalized abortion, because they don't want nobody to have one. It'll take up welfare. It'll take up resources. All kinds of things will happen. It'll take a choice away from the woman if you don't have one. All kinds of things will happen. So we legalize it, but it's still the killing of the unborn.
Amen.
Those who don't have a voice for themselves, we take away their voice. In Elizabeth's time, it was a thing that when you became a child, you had to seclude yourself, so that you would not appear obvious at first. And then when you came out, no big deal. She's with child. Oh, I thought she couldn't have a baby. Oh, yeah, so you can see she's already with child. No question about it. During that time of her seclusion, you know how it is to be secluded. We've been in a time of pandemic. We've been in a time of virus and uncertainty. We've had time when we had to stay at home more than we might care to. You know how it is to hide yourself in the house for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, whatever it is. There's times when you have misgivings. There are times when you had to hide yourself. There are times when you might have to shut your mouth. There are times when you have doubts and confusion. There are times during that time when she had doubts and she didn't know. She had to go back to that word that God had given her. When she secluded herself in the house for 5 months and she said, "Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." When she doubted, she had to remind herself. She laid her hand on her stomach and she reminded herself that this is a promise of God. This is the way that God dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men, to give me purpose in life, to give me reason in life, so the other girls wouldn't make fun of me, so the people around me wouldn't think I was useless. Now I'm with child. Now I have a purpose. And this is not just any child. This is God's prophet child. This is the one who would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. This is the one who he called John. And I have a purpose. God has dealt with me. He has taken away my reproach from among men. There was a time when we were reproachful. There was a time when we were in sin. But now we have come to God and he has taken away our reproach from among men. He has taken us out of darkness and put us into his marvelous light. He has given us a reason for living. He's caused us to have our life as something worth giving. He's caused us to have a purpose. He's caused us to have a reason when we get up in the morning. He's lifted our feet up like deer's feet. He's caused us to rise and walk on our high places. He's given us the reason no more just to exist, but a reason to have purpose for every day. This is my God who has taken away my reproach from among men. You know the story of Mary. Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her she'll have the Christ child. And she was different from Zechariah. Zechariah said, "How shall this be?" Well, Mary said, "How can this be too?" But her questioning was different. Her questioning was not a question of unbelief. Zechariah just couldn't believe it. "I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. How can I know this will really happen?" Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She really wanted to know. And he tells her, "The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. That Holy One who will be born will be called Jesus, will be called Christ." And you know what she said? She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the world has a Savior because of it. It's all right to ask God a question, but it's not all right to question God. There's a big difference between asking God a question. You can even ask God, "Lord, I don't understand why it's like it is now. Why are things the way they are now? Why is it like it is now?" It's all right to ask God that. That's different than saying, "God, I just don't understand why you're doing this. I don't know. I don't think you know what you think you're doing." Mm-hmm. That's a whole horse of a whole different color. Amen. When you blame God and rail on God, Lamentations, in the midst of all that sorrow and woe, and the prophecy that came because God's people had been cast out of their homeland, gone into captivity. And it seems like a bull caught in a net, seems like a fence, fencing you in, you can't get out, and all kind of analogies the prophet gives. And in the midst of all that, he says, "Why shall a living man complain? Why shall one on earth complain to a God in heaven? Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are still new every morning." So Mary goes to see Elizabeth. Verse 41, "Came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary," Mary means their rebellion. Doesn't mean that Mary is a rebel, but it means that it's different than what you might think. Their rebellion means that here's Mary. She doesn't know a man, but she's going to have the Christ child because she's the Virgin Mary and God does the impossible. That's different than what the natural way of things are. Elizabeth was different than what the natural way of things are, but not like the Virgin Mary. So Mary goes, "Hey, cuz Elizabeth, God bless you, how are you doing? Whatever the greeting she gave, and the babe, John the Baptist, the babe leaped in his mother Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. John Baptist is filled with the Holy Ghost, jumping and kicking inside there. And here Elizabeth, she's filled with the Holy Ghost, starts praising God. Mary gets all excited. My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She starts praising God and thanking God. They have a shouting time there in that hill country. Verse 62. So all the neighbors come together. Mary goes back home, and the neighbors come together, and they have a girly time, and they get together with Elizabeth. The baby is born, and they call him Zechariah, like his father. And she said, his name will be called John. John, there's nobody in your family called by that name. So they did what people did, especially back then. The woman's word didn't mean all that much sometimes, so they made signs to his father how he would have him called. We're going to see what Dad has to say about this. He asked for a writing table and wrote saying his name is John. Well, that was it. When he gave the word, that was it, but that was not the most important thing. The most important thing is it said they marveled all, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Can you imagine sitting there with a man who can't talk, and he writes his son's name down, and all of a sudden his mouth comes open and he starts praising God? That just marvels everybody, scares everybody. Oh yes, it does. Verse 67 says that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, he praised God. So you got what's a normal family? Normal family should be John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost, Mama Elizabeth filled with the Holy Ghost, Dad Zechariah filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost. That ought to be a normal family. Sound like a good deal to me.
Amen.
Well, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He spoke and praised God. The moment that he agreed with God's word, the angel said, when the day these things will come to pass, you will be dumb until the day that these things come to pass. The moment that he agreed with God's word, he wrote it down and said, his name is John. Boom, immediately he started being able to talk.
Amen.
When we agree with God, that moment, things can start to happen.
Amen.
Sometimes God has to wait all of our life till we get to that point where we can agree with God.
Yeah, that's true.
Isaiah chapter 26 says in verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. You might have to hide yourself in the house for a little while. You might not be able to do the things that you could used to do. You might not be able to go like you would like to go. You might have to hide yourself and shut your doors about you for a little moment. For behold, the Lord, he comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Hide yourself or shut your mouth. Sometimes you have to hide yourself. Sometimes you have to get by yourself. Sometimes you have to get along with God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, enter into your closet. Shut your door about you. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Your prayer is heard. The angel tells Zechariah, your prayer is heard. You've been praying all this time. And now when God answers your prayer, you say, how in the world can this be? We pray all of our life. We pray for our children. We pray for our church. We pray for our grandchildren. And then when God starts to move, we say, I don't know if I can really believe that or not. We need to hide ourselves or shut our mouth. When you pray, pray to your Father in secret. God deliver us from these eloquent prayers and trying to impress a preacher and try to impress somebody in the church, trying to impress somebody. We pray to our God, not to try to impress anybody, but to pray to our God who hears in secret. And God who hears in secret will reward us openly.
Amen.
Jesus hangs on the cross, John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Do you know that he had to stop talking before he could die? As long as Jesus was talking, he couldn't die, because the power of God's word kept him alive. Amen. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, yeah. They are life." Amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Beginning was a word. The word was with God. The word was God. Yes. That word has so much power. Yes. That God could say, "Light be," and light was. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man becomes a living soul. God speaks to him and says, "Live, multiply, be fruitful." The power of God's word is so powerful that the scripture said that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power.
Amen.
His word is so powerful that he couldn't die. He had to stop talking before he could die. Moses told the people to stand still and see the salvation of God. God could not deliver them as long as they were complaining, moaning and groaning and bellyaching. What are we going to do? Pharaoh's going to kill us. Moses said, "Hide yourself, shut your mouth, stand still, see the salvation of God." Amen. Over the Red Sea they went, right on dry ground. Numbers chapter 30 has a provision under the law whereby a woman's father or husband could cancel out her vows which she made. She may have made them emotionally or made them in haste before the Lord and really didn't know what she meant or what she was talking about. If they held their peace, the vows would stand. But if they disallowed them, the vows would be void and she would be forgiven. God makes provision. Sometimes when we say things and don't know what we're talking about, he still forgives us. And he still helps us. And they could say, "Girl, what in the world are you talking about? You don't mean that." And God would forgive her. And I pray that God will forgive me when I run my mouth and I don't know what I'm talking about. May the Lord Almighty forgive me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Joshua said, "March around Jericho, but don't talk. Make no noise with your voice." Just imagine, one word could have messed the whole thing up. And you always got some dummy that's going to say something. Somehow, God kept them quiet, went around the walls. One time, 7 days, 7 times on the seventh day, priests blowing with trumpets, making a lot of shuffling with their feet, and didn't say anything. Sometimes, we have to be quiet before God can do what he wants to do, because our words, we think we're helping. A lot of times we're hurting. Our words end up messing up the things of God instead of helping the things of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, "Keep thy foot," in other words, watch your mouth, "when you go to the house of God. Don't be rash with your mouth," verse 2 says, "and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before the Lord. For God is in heaven and you're still down here on earth. Therefore let your words be few. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel that it was an error." In other words, whoops, I really didn't mean it. This may even result in God being angry at your works, destroying the works of your hands, because we say things with our mouth. There have been people in this church of late that have said things with their mouth that have caused the works of their hands to be either canceled or destroyed. And we need to come clean with God and bring our gift to the altar. And before we even offer our gift, we need to go make things right with our brother and perhaps with God. We know the verse, the classic verse in Proverbs that says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." You can heal and you can kill with your tongue, just the words you say. When Jesus was casting out devils, he would say, "Hold your peace," nice King James way of saying, "Shut up and come out." That's what his words to the devil. Hold your peace, come out. Near the end of his life, he even told the disciples, "From here on out, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me." They were wondering why he didn't talk. And he told them, "Look, I'm not going to be talking to you like I always did. Most of the time we would talk and walk together. I'm not going to talk to you as much now, because the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me." In other words, we have nothing in common. We have nothing to do with one another. The reason that you and I, as God's people, don't talk sometimes is because the evil spirit is around and we don't have a thing to do with him. And sometimes we have to be quiet so God can move. And when the time is right, we who have power, any born-again person has power over him. We who have been given power over him have the right to cast him out and take advantage of him in Jesus' name. But when he comes and when he tries his evil work, we may not have an answer all the time, because you cannot play his game. You cannot war his warfare. That's not how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. When we're surrounded by the enemy, our victory is in Jesus' name. It's not by how many words we can say and beat and trick the devil with our words. Our words do not beat or trick the devil. It's God's word that overcomes the devil. When the seventh seal is opened in heaven, there's silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. And it shows how serious the situation is, that judgment is coming. The Wonder Woman of Revelation chapter 12 is instructed to flee into her place and hide herself to be nourished and protected from the face of the devil serpent for 3.5 years during the tribulation period. Sometimes you have to hide yourself. Sometimes you have to shut your mouth. Many times we actually talk ourselves right out from under the blessing and favor of God. You can talk yourself out of a blessing.
That's right.
You can talk yourself out from under the favor of God. Sometimes the less we say, the better off we are. Most of the time, the less we say, the better off we are. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, the scripture says. Our confession many times negates our position. God has already given us a high position, but our confession and doubt and confusion and unbelief negates that position. Ephesians 2 says that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a high position. We have been given a high position in Jesus Christ. We have not made it to heaven yet, but positionally, it is like we're already there.
Amen.
Seated with him together in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
No wonder that Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." When this old world starts getting you down, I'll tell you what we can do. Go up on the roof. No. When this world starts getting you down, and life seems too much for you, things begin to pile up on top of us, we can go spiritually to our heavenly hiding place. Sometimes we had best be quiet and shut our mouths. Then when the time is right, we can pour out our hearts before God. We can tell him exactly how we feel, knowing that it will be all right. He will not tell a single soul anything that we and he have talked about. "Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say." That's what the Santa Claus song said. And that's the way we can do with the Lord. We can get together with our God. We can put our head in the man's lap. We can get together with him. He said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, open the door. I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. We'll have dinner, we'll have fellowship together. I'm knocking at your heart's door. All you got to do is just let me in. We'll have fellowship together. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he who it is who loves me. If you love me, you'll be loved of my Father. I will love you. I will make myself manifest and make myself known to you. We will come and make our abode with you." God will sit down with you right where you are. You may not can get out and go to KFC right now, but you can have KFC, you can have gravy right there where you are, just you and Jesus. Got a good thing going. You can have a good time with God right there where you are. Hide yourself or shut your mouth. Whatever you need to do. If you need to hide yourself, that's Elizabeth. If you need to shut your mouth, that's Ozek. Whatever you need to do, God will give you direction.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Luke chapter 1 entitled Hide Yourself or Shut Your Mouth. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. You can talk to Him anytime, day or night. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.